You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, on the first segment and only segment, this is the final episode of 2017, and we cover up a couple little things, you know, a little, just wrap
tighten
it up,
all up,
put it on a little box, put on a little bow, just a couple little stories that escaped, that got through the cracks. And also, Dominican Republic is heavy in this episode.
That's right. I see. Yeah. And what else? Oh, my God. We talk about all the things we're thankful for and that we're really happy about that happened in 2017. What were the biggest moments for the Cooligans in 2017? What were the dopest parts of 2017? But also, what are our resolutions for 2018? What's coming up? We also ask a Russian woman where Antoine Griezmann got that paint that photo.
Well, she knows. She knows
exactly. My name is Sasha Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
This is Stu Holden, Fox Sports analyst, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yo! Merry Crima, everybody.
Look at where we are.
We're back. We got kicked out.
That's it. We were talking about it forever. It actually happened. The studio's closed for the last week of the year.
Yeah.
So radio, we always told, we'll never shut down. Nope, it shuts down.
No, it takes a break, goes on holiday.
Not us, baby.
No, we don't. We are back in we're back in the original studio. The
OG room?
The OG room, the card. What about the card wall?
Yeah.
What about the card wall?
But the soccer cards.
What are the soccer cards, guys?
They're right here.
They're right here, Jay Riddle. They're right here.
They're not going anywhere. As much as my wife has begged me to take these things down, they will not go anywhere. Just like me.
She's been trying to get rid of you for quite a while.
For so long. That's no point.
You're just squatting in her house at this point.
Also, she loves me and wants me to stay. So we had a pretty good Christmas. We had, the food was a little messed up.
You say we spent Christmas together.
We, like, my wife,
like,
and
we were just nestled,
was referenced?
Nestled in bed together watching Die Hard.
My wife, know? And your girl are like, hey, is this ever going to end? Also, I've never seen Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, you did tweet that, which I don't know.
They got a lot of reaction.
I don't know how that's happened. I don't even know how you managed to avoid it, to be honest.
I've never seen it before.
You're just missing out on a good movie.
Look, I'm not saying I'm purposely avoiding it. Star Wars, I could care less about.
Sure.
Die Hard, I want to see.
That's a good movie. Especially the first Die Hard is like, it's so badass.
Yeah, what the other one was like Die Hard with a Vengeance or whatever.
Oh, well, there have been four? I know there's never been three. I don't know if there's been more.
Are they all
three.
Bruce Willis?
They all are Bruce Willis.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ruin an institution like that with some other actor.
Yeah, who's the guy from Hurt Locker?
From Hurt Locker,
you know what I'm talking about? He was like, they tried to make him the new Jason Bourne, and they were like, yeah, we're going back to Matt Damon.
Oh yeah, the dude that played
Jamie Renner or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
Jeremy Renner.
Look at that.
Look at that. We
pretty close.
With two minds.
Let me tell you something.
We can put together pop culture references.
2018. I'm getting a lot closer to names.
Yeah.
That's the promise for 2018.
We also got a comment from a couple of days ago from Neil. Neil, the NYCFC.
Yeah,
Neil.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The Connecticut.
Turkey leg.
Turkey leg.
Yeah, probably not how he wants
he was,
to be
He
referenced.
Was proud of you for knowing that you dropped that Claude Lemieux.
A soccer reference. Yeah. I mean, sorry, a hockey reference. Look at that. And that's 2017. That's the end.
He was pretty proud of you for that. So welcome to the show, everybody. This is the final episode of 2017.
This is it.
This is the Cooligans podcast. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros. And together with the Cooligans,
yeah, this
which
is
happens to be
the gulliest soccer podcast on the planet.
On the goddamn planet.
So,
we're also the funniest soccer podcast, but more importantly, we're the gulliest.
Sure. I mean, when what's written on our tombstone is going to be gully.
Yeah, here lays the gulliest soccer podcast. We're going to die together. So
you might notice our more calm demeanor because we're trying to ease into 2018.
We're trying to, you know what? We came in hard into the party in 2017.
Yeah. In 2018, we're going to do just the tip.
We're coming in full shaft. No, we, you know, we screamed our way into 2017. We're trying to ease our way out. We're just trying to go, Irish exit 2017.
Go unnoticed. Yeah. Not hit any of the lasers in the room.
Bim, tibim, tibim, bim, tibim,
we don't want to set off any alarms because we, you know, there were a couple close calls this year.
Oh boy. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about what our there's not a ton of happening in the news. There's stuff here and there. We'll talk about what our favorite moments of 2017 were. Maybe you guys have your favorites. Let us know. Yeah, tweet at us your favorite moments.
Please do that.
But your Christmas was good. Was fun.
My Christmas was fun. Yeah, I went to New Jersey.
Okay,
I have family there.
Why would anyone? No, I went there as well. Exactly. That's where my sister lives. Yeah, that's where my wife's family is.
And I had gone to my my cousin's house, and her son is a big soccer fan too, and he's like he's a fan of the Cooligans too. He's a good dude.
Why? All right.
But I forgot in all this time we've been doing the Cooligans, I forgot, since he grew up in Jersey, he's a Red Bull fan. So
you know, sometimes you try to put him on the right road.
it makes it difficult for Christmas dinner. That's what I'm saying. because as an NYCFC fan, and him being 10 years younger than me. Of course I fought him. I mean, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Broke a bottle, stabbed him with it.
we had a huge fight about the New York Derby, but we completely agreed on everything political. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's actually, that's a positive. Well, all right.
You know what? He's a Trump voter. It all worked out.
Yeah. I had to share Christmas with my wife's family, which... No one cares about soccer.
Also, I was just kidding. He's not a Trump voter.
Yeah, no, everyone figured. He's related to you. He's Dominican. He can't be a Trump voter, but Dominican. And if you are, let us know.
If you're a Dominican Trump voter, please. Oh, my God. I want to meet you.
Yeah, we would love to. We'll grab a slice.
Ese Trump está más heavy.
Ese mi maní.
That's a great character. Dominican Trump voter.
Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, I guarantee you, bleached his way into a Trump voter.
Trump loves Sammy Sosa. He you know what? He can't even explain exactly why. But
he has no clue.
I think we have a hint. We might know why he might like Sammy Sosa all of a sudden.
Yeah, likes him a lot more now. although he loved him when he was cheating his way into hitting so many home runs, scoring home runs. That's not what you say. 2018, baby.
When he was banging those home runs in the back of the net.
The opening his account for the Chicago Cubs. So I went. I got to go to my family's house, which. My sister doesn't know a ton about soccer, but she got me an Arsenal jersey for Christmas, which was very nice. It was the home version of the one that I'm wearing here. So if you're watching, you get to see that.
Is it the away or the third?
I believe the third kit.
Okay.
This might be the away kit.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Honestly, I'm not checking out dudes like that and what they're wearing. So,
I am, and let me tell you something.
All right, I just want to make it everybody clear for all the Cooligans listeners right now. I ain't checking out dudes like that.
Nah, not in 2017, but 2018. It's
2018. That's all.
It's all it's gonna be.
Yo, ladies, get out of the way because I'm only looking at dudes.
Yo, excuse me, ma'am, would you move? I'm trying to look at dudes right now. Another character. We're doing
homophobic soccer fan.
Yeah. No, but like very,
very, but fashionable,
but also very gay, but very homophobic soccer fan. Definitely from the East Coast. So I went, my sister got me an Arsenal jersey. She got me the home kit, which was awesome. So I lift it up and immediately I feel how heavy it is. The one I'm wearing now is the replica, which is beautiful, by the way. I actually prefer the replicas because they're not made like inverted parentheses. They're not made for soccer players, if you know what I mean. The replicas are like, okay, we know some of the people in the stands are eating a little bit too many pies. You know what I'm saying?
They're made for the rotund.
Yes, or just the not perfectly shaped. Okay, it's not like you have a great chest muscles and very thin.
Yo, I'll show you my chest right now. Don't you dare talk about my chest.
No chest.
Don't you dare talk about my chest like that.
So we know it's a bird chest, right? We all know. So. I pick it up and I'm like, oh my God, she got me the actual one. And then as I grab the sleeve, I realized that little respect badge that's on it, that's not on this one, has that little respect, like the no racism badge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like a real
one. You were like, take this off.
Yeah, you're like, screw this.
This goes against everything I believe in.
I was like, uh-oh, what's on the other arm?
Oh, boy.
Please be a Premier League badge. So, you know how the Premier League badge is round now with a little line in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
I see a round badge and I'm like, oh, thank God. And I flip it over and I see a Europa League badge.
Europa League.
Europa.
Just sang by your chain-smoking uncle.
Just a dispatcher of a firehouse somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Not as prestigious as...
We're not the champions.
Yeah, that's weird. I didn't even know they sold with the Europa League.
Why do they make them? Who's buying them? Only one person, someone who had no idea. She also kept saying she went to thearsenals.com. So she might not have even bought... This might not even be legit.
It's like going to a trophy store and like, hey, we only sell second place trophies here.
Yeah. Does anybody want...
Good quality second place trophies.
Anybody want an E for effort trophy? That's essentially what I have. So I got to walk around now with this freaking thing. So it's a little tight.
And the name on the back says fifth place.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Actually, for us, that's second place. So we always finish in fourth. She wrote Guerreros on the back.
She wrote Guerreros
on the back. She spent extra money.
That's a lot of letters,
to put
too.
My last name. Yeah, characters. It's a lot. It goes shoulder to shoulder, full way. She put Guerreros, and I said to her, I was like, okay, let's start here.
What number, by the way?
She put 81, the year I was born. Which now I'm looking like an old motherfucker wearing this jersey.
You went, well, who's this sub that don't get no playing time? Yo, 81.
They're like, yo, the U20s, I don't think they do any training.
Wow.
Yo, people are going to see me and they're like, does Arsenal have an E team now, an esports team? Because clearly that dude does not run ever.
That is funny.
But it's like, she's like, yo, I paid. She's like, I paid a lot. And then I found out it was in pounds. I'm like, wait. You bought this from the European website? She's like, yeah, it cost a lot of money. I'm like, no, I know exactly how much this costs. You've got the single most expensive one you could possibly get. And I go, also, did you know that there was a player on the team named Alexis?
Can I answer that for her? Yeah. No, she did not.
No, she 100% did not. I go, and she goes, yeah, but what's the name on the back? I go, Alexis. He put Alexis on the back, my name. And she's like... Well, I didn't know that. I go, I know you didn't know that because you went out and got Guerreros on there. I felt bad because I know she spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, you can't be like, I don't want this. You're not my sister anymore.
I mean, I don't want to wear something with a Europa League badge. I got to admit, though, the Europa League badge is kind of cool.
It's sort of like that triangular trophy, right?
It's black and it has like that, like it looks like kind of like almost like a Pepsi logo, like the white part of the Pepsi logo.
Okay. All right.
How to find a way to make it fat. I just felt bad for her. I was like, and then her husband was like, wait, how much would it have been for just the Alexa jersey? I'm like, a lot less.
Oh, boy.
No customization.
I mean, so just make sure can you please wear it on the next show?
No. It's very tight. It's very tight in the belly.
Listeners, if you guys want Alexis to wear his Guerreros 81 shirt, the MVP, I mean, he's like, it's just the player of the year.
For those of you who don't
know, Ballon d'Or winner, 81.
How about the award is just my belly in gold? That's the Ballon d'Or.
If you want to wear, just tweet at us, tweet at him.
Tweet at us all you want.
Make sure he wears it because this has to be. We have to see this. We have to do a little catwalk run.
Little fashion show.
I
mentioned this on the pod, but I was the vice president of the modeling club in high school.
The modeling club.
Oh yeah, baby.
Okay, well, what exactly did you model?
I modeled a lot of like Anichi and Mecca. A lot. A
little Fat Farm, Rockaware.
For real. 100%. A lot of baggy long sleeve shirts. Okay. A lot of PMB. Remember PMB?
No, I don't remember.
Post No Bills, Please No Bacon. Oh my God, yo, PMB. It stood for, one of the logos was like Proud Nubian Brothers. I was like, don't give me that shirt.
When I think of Proud Nubian Brothers,
you think of me right away in a very tight Arsenal shirt. It was just, the Europa League logo. So what the fuck am I supposed to do? I know she spent a lot of money. I feel terrible. It's very high quality and it's very warm for a short sleeve shirt. It's very heavy material.
Mm-hmm. I rarely ever buy the authentic.
No one does.
Yeah.
One person ever has.
Honestly,
when that order came through, they were like, what?
What is this? This must be a mistake.
Some American broad. Also, the first time she ever went to buy me a jersey, she's like, I tried, but every jersey that kept coming up was a team called the Fly Emirates. So,
oh boy,
yeah, my sisters.
I mean, they're a pretty tough team, yeah. And they actually play in like 6 different continents.
Yeah, they
get all over the place.
They got a team in New York, lower division, but they're happy to play here. They're definitely gonna beat the Chang Bears. Or now, what is it like? What is it? Latu? Sporteca.
No, Sport Pesa.
Sport Pesa.
Like some betting. Whatever. I mean, whatever. It's probably super highly illegal. Yeah.
It's the only way that Rooney's making money is through Sport Pesa right now. Highly illegal.
I didn't get any soccer related gifts this year. Did I get? Yeah, I did. Last year I did get. Oh, I think for my birthday. I don't remember. But like Christmas is not really like I'm like kind of over. Like my family's over Christmas with like.
Not until there's kids around.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I have a niece and I have two nephews and a niece.
So you all have to give gifts to each other just to like be a good example to them.
But like you give each other gifts of like, oh, here's a small thing I saw. Or like the family members that don't have children tend to give big gifts to us.
Okay.
Because they don't have their own kids. But like my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, we're like, yo, here's like a small gift card. We spend a lot of money on your kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the main thing is. But then the family goes nuts for these kids. And I'm just looking at these kids, you know, opening up thousands of gifts. And I'm like, why did people forget I'm here? I was the baby of the family until recently.
How recent is that?
Like 7 years.
I guess that is pretty recent. Yeah.
That's less than a decade.
It must be difficult to adjust, Alexis.
And I got to be honest. It's not easy. I'm still talking about it.
You just, just got off the bottle. Just a couple.
I got relegated to the Europa League and my own family.
So let's talk about a couple things that are going to be relevant and important in 2018.
Yeah.
And then we'll reflect on our 2017. But we didn't talk about this last week because the private jet, I think, distracted us. The Darlington night.
Yeah, we did give up a bunch of, we did not talk about a bunch of stuff because we talked so much about the PJ.
But we should talk about the CONCACAF Champions League, the draw. Happened. And you know what? And sometimes we think about things to, you know, topics to discuss on the podcast. And occasionally we're like, oh, let's not talk about this or let's not go into too much detail because
it's not relevant or there's
spoke about it. But I think a thing we can't lose sight of is that, you know, this year there were two new teams. So, you know, in Minnesota and in Atlanta. And there's a lot of people who are new to MLS overall. And we didn't have a CONCACAF Champions League this year. So that didn't happen because they changed the format 2 years ago. So they took like an off year to like readjust it.
Right.
And so if you don't know, if for anyone listening, the CONCACAF Champions League is similar to the UEFA Champions League, when obviously all the best teams in each particular league, the top three or four
within that continent.
Within
so
the continent,
Asia has a Champions League.
Yeah,
you know every continent that plays soccer has.
Yeah,
one.
and it all funnels up to the Club World Cup.
Yeah,
which Real Madrid just won against Gremio.
Yeah,
like I think they won 2 weeks ago.
The Brazilian teams do really well in the Club World Cup.
Yeah, Real Madrid only won 1-0. They almost lost that game, so that would have been huge for.
And they bring their full teams.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think the championship. This year was in like Japan or
they always do it in different cities all around the world, which is kind of cool. No, and not a lot of people focus on the FIFA Club World Cup, but for a lot of these smaller teams,
it's
even big teams in smaller nations or smaller leagues, it's massive.
It's huge. If you can, I mean, the prize money for just even getting to getting there is huge. So
yeah.
For a lot of like a club like Grêmio.
Brazilian.
Yeah. So them getting that kind of money is huge. So it does a lot for. So the teams really want to win the Champions League of their continent of their confederation.
They should do it at the home park of the more impoverished team.
Sure,
so like imagine Real Madrid going to Gremio.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
That'd be huge.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Which team is poorer? They get a home.
Yeah, yeah. They go to each player. They're like, run your pockets. Let's see what you got. Yeah. And they're like,
I mean, let's talk network. You know what I mean?
And then they go, oh, but our kids have no pockets.
Yeah, yeah. You get a home game.
Well, you're hosting. You're hosting the thing. So, the CONCACAF Champions League draw happened, and
we could talk about a lot. I think Colorado versus Toronto is the two American sides.
So I'll just read. So Yeah, so I'll just read what the matches are. So they're going to be two legs. So it's
well, let's start here. Let's just talk about the American ones, right? Colorado Rapids versus Toronto. You got FC Dallas is going to play Tauro. Thaudo FC, two bulls going against two each bulls. Other.
The horns. The horns. Hook'em horns.
Going against
Thaudo is
Los Hook'em Horns, Panama.
Thaudo is in Panama.
Yeah, in Panama. You've got the New York Rebels playing Olympia, which is a big team in Honduras.
Yeah.
You've got Tijuana playing Motagua.
Motagua, another Honduran
another
team.
Very hard to pronounce. you have Pumas Unal playing Herediano, which is... where's that?
Herediano is in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
And Saprissa also. Saprissa's like always, they're like Saprissa's one of the best.
Huge, yeah.
One of the best clubs in
And they're playing
Costa Rica.
Club America.
Sounders are playing.
Oh, yeah. The Seattle Sounders are playing Santa Tecla.
Santa Tecla from El Salvador.
El Salvador.
But really,
the biggest, the most important.
The most important match.
The most significant match, I think, in the history of the CONCACAF Champions League.
I would say so myself.
I think we could all agree once you hear the name.
Guadalajara
is going to have
Chivas Guadalajara, huge club in Mexico.
Right now, the minnow in this line, in this matchup, they're going to have to travel to the soccer powerhouse.
Boom.
The football mad. Cibao FC in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, ya tú sabes, coño.
Plátano. This is going to be the
I'm sorry, my ringtone. I didn't mean to keep my phone on during the show.
That wasn't us.
Yeah, I should silence my phone. Sorry
Let me tell
that.
You something. You're not going to be able to get an Uber in this city unless it's an out of it. It is going to be difficult. You're not going to get... single golpe, they're going to have say golpe for breakfast. They're going to add a sixth one. This is just going to be huge.
So this is really exciting. So obviously, Cibao FC, they changed the way they changed the format for CONCACAF Champions League is basically they removed the group stage for the American and Canadian teams.
Yeah. So like we start after everyone else.
Yeah.
Used to.
Yeah. So basically there's essentially... less games, so it's like that first half of it, which happens in our second half of the season,
right,
is going to be happening. Now it's only going to be the first half of our season,
yeah.
But that is going to be the tournament.
That's going to be the tournament. So it's going to be shorter
from spring to summer, effectively.
But there's also going to be like a promotion and relegation aspect to this, right? Did you read that?
I don't know.
It might not be this league. I got confused, but there is a is this the Scotiabank?
Yes.
No, then there is. There's going to be promotion and relegation. So if you win, you stay up. Like if you're one of the people to lose up front, you drop down to the second one, Ryan? I have no idea. I should have researched this beforehand.
So the problem. So basically, how it normally works in most Champions Leagues is you have a group stage for four teams in each particular group, just like a World Cup.
Top one or two move on to the bracket.
That's how it normally is, and like that's how it is in Europe.
Yeah.
That's changing. That's being removed. So now the winner of like going forward is going to be the winner of MLS Cup, winner of Canadian Cup,
US Open Cup,
Eastern Conference, Western Conference.
Supporter Shield.
And Supporter Shield. All right, so it's not Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
I think US Open Cup is gone.
They took out
the US Open Cup. Now it's...
regardless, so yeah. those are basically the details. I mean, we're not going to get
Just check it every year. There's going to be American and Canadian teams in there.
The reason
more importantly, Cibao.
It's all fairly new to us. But the main thing is because of this off year.
Yeah.
They had to decide how they were going to assign the team. So it's not the way it is now is not
going to be forever.
It's not going to be the way for next year. That's
like NYCFC qualified. That's been confirmed. Will have a spot in the 2019 version of the CONCACAF Champions League because they finished in second place in the Supporter Shield. But because the Supporter Shield gets
since Toronto,
they get a thing. But Toronto won the league, the Supporter Shield and a Canadian Cup.
Yeah.
So the second place in the Canadian Cup got in, right? And then the second place in the league also gets in.
Canada. So the reason the second place in the Canadian Cup did not get in is because they because of this off year, they were going to do a playoff to make it so that the winner of 1 year, like the winner of like 2016 played the 2017 winner in a playoff, but Toronto won both of them. So they've still, there's no playoffs. So then they gave it to, this is why I think NYCFC is getting in. So they gave it
to the second place in the supporter shield.
No, the combined points from 2016 and 2017, they were in second place.
Yeah.
So again, this is why this is super confusing.
It's not that easy. Yeah. All you have to know is we're going to be eating plátanos. We're going to take off our socks. We're going to do it big.
So for all you Minnesota United and Atlanta United fans, this is just another tournament to pay attention to. This is before the season begins. So this is going to be in February. So there's going to be some games going on, important games.
Important games, which sucks for us that it's in our offseason. A lot of people have said if the CONCACAF Champions League were a bigger draw and you made more money, that would be an opportunity to sort of push the league into having a winner schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. That's reason enough sort of for it.
Cause like in Europe,
I mean, it's a big hindrance when you're playing very, very important games during your preseason.
Yeah. I mean, if you remember a couple years ago, in Montreal, Impact had a massive game against, I want to say Pachuca. And they needed to borrow a goalkeeper from another team because they had not signed one yet.
Yes, yes.
In their off season.
Yeah.
This is their off season. They're not ready. They're all a little chubby. And they're playing against Pachuca, who's at the end of their season, like just past the middle of their season. They're in full game 90-minute form. And I think Montreal won the first and then just got destroyed in the second leg. But they won away.
I mean, last, not in 2017, but in 2016, there were, you know, Vancouver and Montreal. Was it Montreal? No, FC Dallas.
FC Dallas.
Vancouver and FC Dallas. The year before that was Montreal when they got to the final.
Yeah.
And lost. And they were
That was the Pachuca. That was the games against Pachuca.
They were up going into the second leg.
Yeah.
And they still lost.
They lost. They won away and they lost at home. But they needed a backup goalkeeper to come in and like... I think it was, I forgot a club, like lent them a team.
Yeah, yeah. So the main, this is the thing. So for MLS fans, yeah, maybe your team is not playing in the Champions League, but it would be such a huge deal and it would be so exciting if an MLS team won the CONCACAF Champions League.
It'd be huge.
That's never happened. Every team is always trying to get there. They get closer all the time. But the Mexican powerhouses are not, you know, they're not budging anytime soon.
Not only are they typically, sort of better players than we have because of the lack of a cap, and they tend to have much more, stronger academies than we've had in the past. So they just have, you know, they have more depth than we do. You know, they have some players with like the number 284 on his back. Like they have more players than we do. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Almost as bad as 81.
And yeah, I'm just like, I mean, not as recognizable as the 81. No.
Well, everybody knows. People, like, everybody wants, growing up, they want to be a number 10 or they want to be a number 81. You know what I mean?
It's one of all the kids are fighting. When they see the jersey and their league in the bag, they're like, I want 81, I want 81.
I mean, everyone knows Maradona would have been 81, but he wasn't allowed to be because they didn't think it was that good. So they're like, we're the scrub number 10.
There's going to be the first game. The first two games are going to be happening February 20th. Toronto FC against Colorado and Tigres against Herediano. So watch these games.
These are going to be huge. We don't know where they're going to be broadcast. We don't know if they're going to be broadcast, but you know the stream's got you.
They're going to be on the radio in Spanish, so you better learn. You better start learning a new language.
Come on, fans.
No, usually the Champions League games are, for the majority of them, are broadcast on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
So they're, usually on there. Also YouTube, I think. This is like,
you know, the illegal streams got you. Don't worry about it.
But you got Facebook. That's a very legal stream. So just watch it on.
They play them all on Facebook.
They play them all on Facebook. Yeah.
So there you go.
They definitely did last year. And they also play. You should, if you don't follow your team's Facebook account, you should, because a lot of times the friendlies, when teams from Europe come play here in January and February,
they're broadcast on
Facebook Live because they're usually not on TV. So like, yeah, I mean, Seattle Sounders played West Ham, I think, last year or 2 years ago.
That was on Facebook.
And that was on Facebook Live, and you got to see West Ham play. And, you know, they were West Ham, you know?
Ah, there you go.
I'm like, oh, hey, look, this is West Ham.
Hey, is that West Ham being West Ham right now? I should watch that. Could you like that for me?
So yeah, it's going to be exciting. But, yeah, Cibao FC playing against Guadalajara.
Huge.
So this is the first time a Dominican team has made it into the CONCACAF Champions League. Also, the Dominican League, the Liga Dominicana de Fútbol is
sounds like ironic.
Yeah, it's no, don't you mean baseball? What are you talking about?
Yeah. A lot of guys sliding into third base. No necesitamos eso ahora mismo.
Well, you know, when it comes to getting Dominicans to slide, I mean, you already got slide tackles already. Yeah. You don't even have to teach them that part of the game.
I mean, they're like, como, like how I do it in the DMs. See? Okay.
All right. I know what to do.
Not fast.
This is the first time a Dominican team has made it to the Champions League, and the league itself is only like 5 years old.
Yeah.
So this is kind of wild. And then Cibao FC specifically, they have the majority of their players on their team are just from Spain.
The majority coaches are from Spain,
and the players. I would like a healthy mix, but there's a lot of Spanish players. There's a lot of Haitian players. There's a lot of
which. Applaud.
Look, I mean, what
the Dominican Republic,
the unity,
for that.
The unity.
Because politically, that's a big deal. Let's just say in the Dominican Republic.
I think it's a good sign. So, Alexis and I were talking about possibly going.
We're gonna try to go.
We're gonna try to go to this.
We
game.
Should start a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, yeah, go,
yeah,
go, go fund us.
Yeah, please fund us. Is that a website? We looked up the prices. It's kind of expensive, but we feel like it's just because people are like February hot areas.
Sure,
they're trying to escape the winter right now, so maybe those prices go down a little bit.
We'll see.
Hopefully.
Know. We'll see if it might be
cool. We would love to interview the guys over at Cibao FC. We would love to check out the stadium. You know, it's not far from where your family is.
That's right.
So we're walking over in our flip-flops and pajamas.
Bring my 92-year-old grandparents to their first soccer game. I think it'll be cool.
Abuelo. Que cree.
That would be such an insane sight. My grandmother, I can't hear anymore. Like, she can barely hear. I mean, you would have to scream next to her ear for she can hear it.
I have a feeling that's going to be happening at the game. You know, your grandfather would be like, why are there no bats? Who's wearing shorts? I don't see sand anywhere.
So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll keep you abreast.
And if the Cuban National League, which they have one, if they ever get it going, I mean, imagine Cibao versus like Havana.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be exciting.
Wow.
I mean, just the cars that pull up to the stadium would be absolutely.
And also
a 1945 Pinto, and then
a Pinto from 1945.
Right, that's a car from 1945.
Yeah, the 1935 Nissan Altima. Dumbass Pinto.
No, you know they modify all the cars in Cuba. Yeah, they do.
Everything's brand new out there.
So the Champions League is going to be dope. We're going to be excited about that. A couple other things that happened this week, some rumors that we should at least,
especially transfers. This is a big deal. You know, teams are making moves.
That's right.
They seem to have slowed down a bit.
Yeah. I mean, but Philadelphia, they ain't making moves for nobody.
And by slow down, they are still in reverse. They are not going anywhere.
I call and there's no dial tone anymore. Like there's no, it doesn't ring. It doesn't, it's not, it's like,
the
it's
fax is unplugged.
It's disconnected. They ain't paying their bills. Yeah, I don't know what,
come on. They actually did sign someone named Pino.
I don't know.
Or Dino. It's like a very short Dino.
I'll double check. I haven't seen anything that Felice done. But
what I'm most surprised with is Gonzalo Verón.
Gonzalo Verón is
DP from the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, who was a bench DP. He's the Pirlo of the New York Red Bulls.
They found a way to make that DP contract worthwhile, which was in the last few minutes, they're like, come on, you're fast. Get out there. But he couldn't score until he was like the Giroud.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was. He kind of, he never scored goals that really mattered. I mean,
that's the Lukaku.
Yeah, Giroud is more like he'll get him like. He'll scorpion kick, and it's like the most important goal. Like, you needed that goal.
The single greatest goal you have ever met.
Varane never, he when you needed him to score,
he ain't coming.
That's not when he ever did it. But he, you know, he puts him in the back of the net. But it is surprising going to the Atlantic Cup rival.
They're probably, you know, I mean, I think most people would say now the Derby, the New York Derby is probably the biggest.
Yes.
Right? But. For a long time, DC was their biggest rival.
DC against the New York Red Bulls.
Still a lot of bad blood there. They still hate each other. So this is a big deal.
I don't even know exactly how this works, but he got picked up in the re-entry draft. So he wasn't re-signed.
He was, yeah, his contract was, I guess, just expired. So he's probably not going to be a DP. He's going to have to renegotiate his contract. I don't know why he'd stay here.
But all it means, I know since he got picked by DC United, all it means is that it's like in the NBA when you're restricted free agent, like your team can make a better offer and you sort of have to stay. That I don't think that's necessarily the case.
No, but, I don't think that's actually the case.
But the Red Bulls get to negotiate first with him. That's like, that's what the re-entry draft. It doesn't mean that he automatically goes to DC United. He can still go back to the Red Bulls if they work out a deal.
I actually think you're wrong.
I don't think I'm wrong.
Where did you get this information?
We can look up the re-entry draft stuff, but I did read that.
Well, I know that this is the way I assumed it worked. And again, if you know better than us, you know, Weeby, if you're listening, David Goss, if you're listening, tell us what's going on. Matt Doyle, school us. I believe it works is they had the chance to renegotiate a contract with him before he got into the re-entry draft. Because they couldn't get that done, he got put into the re-entry draft. And why would you not just take him if you're their biggest rival?
So here, I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
It says, players with option re-entry draft rules. So players with option years left on their contract will automatically be added to the drafting club's roster. In stage two, which is where he was taken, all players who were not selected in the first stage will be available again. Teams who select a player in stage two will have the right to negotiate with the player for a new contract.
Yeah, so he's negotiating with DC right now.
So they have the right to.
Yeah, he no longer can negotiate with Red Bulls. They lost that opportunity because no one picked them. Then they had the chance. If he would have agreed to a contract, he would not have been put in the re-entry draft. They could not agree. He got put in the re-entry draft. DC grabbed him. DC is now negotiating a contract with him.
Okay. So I misunderstood.
Yes.
I think I misunderstood the stages of it.
Guys, 2018 is going to be lit. Alexis was right. Everything's changed.
You still might be wrong, but
I'm 100% right. So now DC grabbed him, which got to piss you off if you're the Rebels, because apparently they wanted to keep him. They were trying to negotiate.
Well, who's they? Because when I look at Red Bull Twitter... There's some people that were like, oh, this is messed up. He's going to DC. And then some people were like,
good riddance.
Good riddance. Yeah. Thank you for getting him off our books.
They're
we don't need that.
Send him
dude.
To NYC. Send him. We don't care. We don't care where he goes. People are mad. Rebel Twitter is emotional as fuck.
I mean, it's fair because look, the team itself,
but like, look how angry they are about, like, they don't even like Sasha Clay. I mean, there's obviously a lot of fans that do, but there's a lot of fans who are like, we don't care if Sasha goes to LA. How could you care? How could you not care? Dude, BWP can't do it all on his own.
That's true. I mean, I think based on, you know, like we've had Mark Fishkin on the show, host of Seeing Red, a great Red
friend
Bull.
Friend of the show.
And when I sort of use him to gauge, like, because I feel like he's a good barometer of like how everyone, he's like, he's reasonable and he's also like a good at conversating with other Red Bull fans who are very upset about
he also moves. Seems to be like he is, like you said, a barometer. He is, you could take the temperature of RBNY's fan base by going to his Twitter.
So I think they have every right to be emotional because look, the club's been around for a long time. They've had a lot of success and they can never get to where they need to be. And
they haven't had the ultimate success.
So, you can see from year to year with the level of consistency that they do bring that, you know, these kind of decisions will almost any decision will get them very, very frustrated. So I obviously like, losing, trading away Dax, was a big deal.
But look at people, you know, Sean Davis played pretty well. Tyler Adams came up.
Yeah. So they were positives in that. I would say for the most part, the Dax trade worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, Red Bulls went farther in the playoffs than the Chicago Fire did. So, yeah, oh, just overall, I just think that there's, I don't know, I think they're done with being too emotionally connected with players. And I think that comes with years of just bitterness and resentment from like, well, I love Dax and I love Sasha Kljestan, I love all these guys. And it's like, and we show the passion for the team, but the club doesn't really, you know, it can't really get to the next spot. So maybe we just need to kind of blow things up.
Right. Like Grella going to.
He is now going
Columbus.
To Columbus. Yeah.
And which is a shock to me because Grella was like, God, you know, I mean, you know,
style.
But also, like, they loved him. They talked about him as if he was like a homegrown player. And I think it's because he came back. He's from New York. He played out in Leeds. He came back and he clearly took on sort of the heart of the team, kind of. Not solely the heart of the team, but he certainly took on a very passionate, emotional fan base onto his own. Like, he made it his own.
Yeah.
And you loved it. I'm shocked. You know, I as an NYCFC fan, I remember he trialed at NYCFC, and watching him succeed with the Rebels was so frustrating because you're like, come on. And now he's going to Columbus. You didn't hear, I didn't hear much of a peep from the Rebel fans.
A lot of just like, you know, a lot of thank yous.
I'm not saying
him.
It was silent, but yeah. What I'm saying is
there was an outrage.
No. And to be honest, I don't think NYCFC fans were outraged when guys like RJ Allen, who were, you know, kind of very similar to Grella in the sense that, like, no one really expected him to do what they did, and then became sort of like a heart vocal leader.
I mean, the difference is, you know, the players that NYCFC let go are, you know, not guys that were getting all the minutes or like,
yeah.
You know, like it was guys that had kind of lost out on their position. To some extent.
Yeah, no, I see it.
So look, I understand. I mean, I think the update for Sasha Kljestan is that he may not be going to LAFC. He might go. They're trying to trade him supposedly to Minnesota United, which, again, to me, Sasha Kljestan is such the identity of the team. I don't know how you get rid of Dax and Sasha Kljestan and expect the team to thrive in any way next year.
I feel like if you're going to do that, you need to rip it apart, get rid of BWP, and then, you know, find yourself another striker. You need to rebuild this team around the youth. And that's what I'm assuming. I don't know, you know, what's Juan Escalante? What are these guys thinking? You know, that's what I'm interested in. Like, what are you, if you're a Rebel fan and you listen to us first, thank you. Second of all, what is it that you want? You know, do you want to keep BWP? Let's be honest. BWP hasn't really made it happen in the playoffs besides, I believe, his first year in the playoffs.
I know the Red Bulls signed somebody from South America.
I think another Paraguayan.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me look it up real quick. But
I know NYCFC signed Medina.
Medina.
Yeah, Jose something Medina.
I haven't really kept up. I don't know. Like, there's a couple.
Yeah, it's not like you have a podcast that talks about this league.
Ulysses.
Grant? Yes, we signed Ulysses
Grant. S. Grant. Segura, something like that. I think he's.
No, we signed Medina.
Okay. I'm going to.
Listen, we promise. We're going to be prepared next time.
I'll look it up.
Whatever, yo. You're getting content on the last week of the year. You know how many people just recorded an interview like months ago and they're giving you that?
From Costa Rica, Ulysses Segura.
Segura.
Segura, yeah. So that's, so he's that's one dude coming to NYCFC. But again, I think a lot of the whatever player
In NYCFC Medina, you'll see what comes up.
Any player that comes into the Red Bulls, they need a huge signing. They need like a BWP-esque signing. Every other club is going crazy. There's new money.
There's TAM everywhere.
NYCFC, you see, like the you know, they need a big splash. I mean, it's been long enough with the Red Bulls the last couple of years, even though they've been very consistent, they're still playing with, you know, 2015 rules.
Yeah, no, it's one of those teams that you're like, oh, look what everything they have done with the amount of money they spend. They need to go and get rid of that, like, oh, wow, they can do so much with that little bit. Everybody else is splashing the cash. You got to splash the cash.
Yeah.
And don't act like you ain't got that money. You're an international drink. Like, the brand is strong. Look at the brand in Germany last year. This year, not so well. But look at what you guys are doing everywhere else. I don't understand why you can't sign, you know, where is the kid from Leipzig, you know, that is really good but doesn't get a chance to start? Where's that guy?
Yeah, that is, it seems to be a bit of an issue where the unlike a city football group where they, you know, whatever they got to do to get players at NYCFC, right. They got to fudge a couple numbers. They loan
a lot of CFG signings. They're getting loaned over to New York City. And let's not act like that's all of a sudden winning us the league because we haven't done anything with it.
No, you know but I mean? other clubs do it. I know somebody else made this point. Like Red Bulls, it seems to be that Red Bull is not as generous with loaning players out to New York Red Bulls as CFG is with NYCFC.
Just makes no sense. I mean, this is an investment you guys have made.
Yeah.
Your player that's not starting in that other city is going to have the opportunity to play very, very important, big, big minutes in a league that, you know, look at someone like Jack Harrison. He's in the England U-20s. Clearly, you know, people are getting an experience that's important here.
Yeah, so Jesus Medina reportedly competing. So I don't know if it's official, but I guess competing to sign from competing with FC Copenhagen to sign him.
I believe it's. I thought it was. It was confirmed about a week ago. By the way,
about a week ago. Okay.
Oh.
So who knows? I don't know much about this dude. I'm looking at a Hudson River Blue.
He's Paraguayan, and he plays for whatever.
That's it. That's all I need to know. You're Paraguayan. It.
Get him in.
You're on the team.
You make Cecil get in here.
You know what I mean? All right, you're good.
But apparently that's like the guy plays for their biggest team. I forget what it is. It's the one with the wings.
He plays for Libertad.
That's their biggest club. And I believe that's also the club that Almirón came from.
Okay.
Or at least that developed Almirón. So there you go.
It's a good sign. I think The other, I guess, similar thing is with we haven't talked about this too much, and a lot of people from Atlanta have been talking about Barco, Ezequiel Barco.
Yeah, still not
Ezequiel
done.
Barco. Wait, so this is an interesting story, and most of you from Atlanta probably already know what's going on, but Barco, he plays at Independiente,
which just won the Copa Libertadores.
No, they won their championship and are going to Copa Libertadores.
I thought they won the Copa Libertadores.
No. This is the issue. So the issue is that they won the championship, are going to Copa Libertadores. And
so they won their league.
They won their league. So now...
Which is huge for Independiente.
Now the ownership and the manager is that when they had already agreed to sell Barco to Atlanta, now that they won they're going to Libertadores,
we might need him.
Like, we might need him a little bit.
Yeah.
So...
Which goes to show how good of a player he is.
Yeah, he's also, I think, 19 years old.
He's a kid,
but he's like easily their best player.
But he said he wants to go. But the president, they had like this, like it looked like some type of town hall, or maybe like the some of the player like front office were making appearances at something.
Uh-huh.
It was like it didn't look like it was anything soccer related. It was like folding tables and stuff. And somebody asked the president or the coach, and they said that he's not going anywhere for less than $20 million.
No, well, so they had agreed. I think they it was like a handshake deal
for 12.
For 12,
right? Yeah.
And then now,
all of a sudden,
they're like, it's not going to be less than 20. And I believe last I heard, Atlanta offered 22 million, and they're still
which is that's not MLS money.
That's now you're getting like, all right, are we? Like, now, are we Bundesliga?
Yeah,
now? Like,
yeah.
This is
Serie A don't pay that kind of money.
This is real. Dope.
Also, what makes you, like, we must have, we being the league, whoever, Eels or Boca Negra or any of these people, Arthur Blank must just be like, yo, I got made fun of for my PJ. I got a splash.
Yo, I don't even pay Matt Ryan that kind of money. What are you doing?
You kidding me?
Who's Barco? What?
Yeah, Barco. Can he play defensive back?
Yo, he's going to have to play for Atlanta United and Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah,
all right?
He's going to be running back.
That is a pricey investment.
He's calling the coach of the Falcons. What could you do with a central attacking midfielder?
All right. Can he play safety?
Yeah, I mean, get him out there to kick the ball. We got to do something. We spent a lot of money on this guy.
Yeah. So...
But whatchamacallit, this is money we don't spend. I mean, we must, as a league or Atlanta United, must have this extreme confidence that we can sell him for much more.
Yeah. Yes. It seems a little bit like, let's put it on the card, honey.
You know?
We'll figure it out later.
Later on.
So this is, I mean, there's never been a transfer fee this high, right?
No.
I mean, without a doubt. I don't even know what's the closest. I don't even...
I think we've only ever sold a player for five, which was, I believe, $5 million for Yedlin.
Okay.
So I think that's the only number, like, in or out that comes close to this.
So
I think Almirón was the biggest signing.
Okay.
Right? Because transfer fee.
I don't even know what his fee was, but this would...
Because I think Pirlo was free, Villa was on a free, Lampard was technically on a free.
Yeah, most players like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this kind of a transfer fee, and let's say he does end up on the team. Let's say he does, and he succeeds, and he does well. This will set a precedent.
This changes everything.
Of like, you know, oh man, we gotta like. I mean, maybe no other team probably not gonna spend like $22 million, but they might.
Rebels
be like
man, we gotta at least spend $300,000 now. I mean, geez.
Oh my god, we're just gonna break the bank.
Yeah.
But they might. Start
Philadelphia Union's like.
where am I?
Yeah.
What day is it?
They spent how much? You guys playing Football Manager?
Oh man. So it could set a precedent, and it can push the risk that some teams are willing to take to, you know, maybe they won't, maybe $1-2 million is like you know, it seems scary at one point, but it's like, what if you go for spend five or six and get that player that's worth that kind of money?
We should be spending up to 10. I mean, that seems like the level of player.
Sure. We should be spending any money. I mean,
we should spend money.
the fact that Atlanta is getting in and it's just like, yo, we're trying to win. We're trying to do, we're running this like a European operation,
yeah.
You know, and not really focusing on the status quo of Major League Soccer.
But also like the only time this kind of money would have ever been spent would have been for like a European name, someone that guaranteed ticket sales.
Yeah.
Bodko does not guarantee ticket sales.
The tickets already sold.
I mean, yeah, it's true. But what I'm saying is like, this isn't like a big shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Pirlo. Played like garbage, sold a lot of shirts,
but
made the money back.
The marketing opportunities for Bodko in Atlanta. Come on, Lil Yachty, Lil Bodko,
Lil Boat. Bodko?
Bodko.
Also,
that's it.
He needs to show up by a yacht, okay?
Immediately.
Forget the private jet. Bodko needs to show up on a private boat.
With with the one night, you know, music playing in the background.
This is huge. This is huge. Like, watching this happening.
But there is like this weird soap opera with this because the manager doesn't want to let him go and they really want him to play in Libertadores. And like you said before, he's already mentioned, he's like, yo, accept the bid, accept Atlanta's, they're paying good money.
Yeah.
It's going to help the club financially. Cause there were reports that the club was, they needed the money.
They need the money. And this helps out whoever developed them even before that,
yep,
via solidarity payments. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on these players to be sold, you know, to move from team to team so that they can continue to make money for everyone down the chain.
Yeah.
So this is going to be big for a lot of people. This needs to happen. You know, as a fan of a team that's not that's not Atlanta United, I don't want them to have these great players because this seems like a pretty dangerous spine they've created. But for the league and for the culture, this is really important.
But it does suggest that, and I think these were some people's fears, were the fact that they're offering this much money for Bodko might be implying that they're willing to sell Almirón like this January. That's
how they're going to make up that money.
That was kind of the rumor. Also, Carlos Carmona is being, I think he's negotiating with Colo Colo,
yeah,
which is in
Chilean.
So he might be gone, which makes sense because their midfield is already stacked.
Yeah.
And especially if Bodko does arrive.
They don't need him.
And I think if these negotiations for Carmona are already happening, it kind of does suggest that maybe the Bodko watch is going well. Those negotiations are going well, right? Because
they're like, look, I gotta do this first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just looking like
either that or they're just pushing all their chips in.
Sure.
You know, they're just like, I have a feeling this is going to work out.
Okay, yeah.
Which is not how I gamble.
Darren reveals the gambler.
Yeah.
So those were a couple of things going on. One of the other things that I did want to mention was a Pulisic and his dog, because remember Jordan Morris and his dog were a big topic of discussion.
Huge. I also tweeted out on our account a photo of Julian Gressel and said, like, look, there's Jordan Morris and the dog.
So look,
I had to delete that. So
players and their dog. I didn't even see that. So
yeah, yeah. Somebody was like, isn't that Julian Gressel? I'm like, oh yeah, I've met this person.
Yeah. So, but Christian Pulisic is in, I believe,
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
He is from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
He's from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
But he was in D.C. I don't know for what exactly, but he was in D.C.
Running for office. You get my vote, buddy.
So obviously Bundesliga is on their break.
This is their break, yeah.
So they're going to be out for like a month.
Most European leagues except the Premier League. Actually, all of them except Premier League take a break.
Yeah.
Like Gerard Piqué and Antoine Griezmann were at the Knicks game for Christmas Day.
Yeah, and Griezmann was in blackface at the Knicks game.
Which was just, I mean, you know what? If you're going to do it, go all the way. I think that's what I said.
We never talked about that on the show. We talked about it on Twitter, but he did.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I support him. No, I'm kidding. No, but Antoine Griezmann, obviously the player for Atletico Madrid and French footballer, just the dominant striker.
Yes.
He went to an 80s party and dressed up as a Harlem Globetrotter.
With an afro and the jersey, the full kit.
Full kit. And also,
he went full kit.
Very full.